First, I want to tell you about our sponsor is Home Title Lock. Home Title Lock, it's a great service because if you've never protected yourself against home title fraud, you may already be a victim of it. It's the one of the fastest growing crimes in America. And, you know, because the stakes are really high, if you can get someone's documents and transfer ownership of the title into your name, you can do all sorts of fun stuff. You can borrow off of the equity and steal hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not sell the home out from under somebody. You don't want to be on the wrong side of that equation. You are going to feel like you got hit by a truck if you are. So go to Home Title Lock, get the $100 search that they have for free. It's a free title scan and report. See if your home's already been compromised. It's $100 value. Why not get it for free when you sign up at HomeTitleLock.com? Protect yourself, protect your home, protect your biggest investment, the place where you just made a bunch of memories over the holidays. Make sure it's still in your name in a couple of weeks. HomeTitleLock.com is the place to go. HomeTitleLock.com.
The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Pat and Stu for Glenn on the Glenn Beck Program. 888-727-BECK. We've got Ocasio-Cortez's radical new deal to talk about, because this is going to be great for everybody. I can't wait till they get this passed.
I know, I'm excited about
it. Get into that. Also, Chuck Todd won't even consider anybody with any debate on climate change, because that's all settled. And he'll only present one side of that argument. Made that really clear on Sunday. It's just not even news anymore. They're just not even doing news anymore.
And they're certainly no longer hiding the fact that they're not doing it anymore.
Not at all. They don't care.
It's a pretty amazing.
They just don't care.
We're getting to that in about 60 seconds right here on the Glenn Beck Program.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Let's talk about something real here. You can put off a lot of things in life. You don't have to join a gym. You can clean your gutters, but usually they will rot off your house. But here's another thing you shouldn't put off, and that is getting home security. It's your home. It's your family. It's your stuff. You want to protect it, but there's always something holding you back, and most likely it's the idea of paying an awful lot of money or paying a middleman and being indebted forever. It also could be the fact that they want you to schedule a 6-hour installation window. You don't have time for that. Simply Safe Home Security has gotten rid of all of those reasons not to get home security. And I'm about to tell you how to save a ton, too. These guys are really great. They don't have any contracts. There's no wiring. There's no markup. There's no installation windows. Just professional quality home security with 24-hour professional monitoring. Now you can save hundreds on SimpliSafe with their extended holiday sale. Just go to SimpliSafeBeck.com to get this great offer at SimpliSafeBeck.com. Save on home protection today. But hurry, the holiday sale ends January 8th. That's SimpliSafeBeck.com.
Pat and Stu for Glenn today. Glenn is back on Monday. 888-727-BECK. It's going to be interesting to see as the new Congress people are sworn in today. It's going to be interesting to see whose agenda wins the day. Will it be the moderates in the party? Are there even any moderates in the Democrat Party anymore? Or is it going to be the radical agenda of some of the incoming freshmen who are Democratic socialists?
Well, there's some moderate socialists. That we know. Now, there's some extreme socialists as well, but there's some right down the middle of the line socialists.
Yeah.
And then there's some,
and a few,
I would say,
communists who are right, you know, sort of center-ish.
Center communists.
Yeah.
And then there's some, I would say, there's two or three real conservative communists. They are like real small government conservative communists, which believe that only like 97% of all the economy should be run by the government. And those people are, I mean, they're extreme in the party. There's only a few, but there's a couple.
Yeah. And that's kind of what we're up against in the Democrat Party now. Because the Democrat Party, they're not Democrats anymore, as a rule. The party has been taken over by socialists. And in fact, it was, what is his name? Perez, right? The head of the DNC. Mm-hmm. Who said that this is the future, that the Ocasio-Cortezes are the future of the Democrat Party?
Mm-hmm.
Really? Socialists are the future of the Democrat Party? Are you listening to yourself?
They're a little bit more of the past than they've admitted as well.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's, I think, the interesting note here, is that this is a party that used to try so hard to hide the fact that they wanted a giant government. I mean, remember, the era of big government is over was Bill Clinton. That's not that long ago. I mean, it's 20 years ago, but that was what they where they were, to the point where they actually said growing government wasn't even a thing anymore.
Right.
Now they're admitting they're socialists, and they're saying that's the future of the party. It's quite a jump.
So it wasn't until recently that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez provided, you know, some of the details of her proposal for the Green New Deal.
Mm-hmm.
But she finally spoke at a town hall, and she declared this is going to be the New Deal, the Great Society, the moonshot, the civil rights movement of our generation. Now, we still don't have the specifics, but of course, it includes free healthcare. It includes free college education. She is going to eliminate all fossil fuel powered electricity. She's proposing elimination of all fossil fuel powered electricity.
So I assume, Pat, she's going nuclear, which is obviously a huge, easy,
emission
free way to generate mass amounts of electricity.
But we are going to close every coal and natural gas powered plant.
Now, natural gas, by the way, is the thing responsible for the giant drop in emissions. That was had nothing to do with a treaty in the United States. Mm-hmm. We had a big drop of, because we took a decent amount of our electricity and transferred it from coal to natural gas. Now she wants to get rid of that, too.
She does. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, Stu, it's time to do renewable sources of power, especially wind and solar, because that will create massive amounts of new jobs in the renewable resource industry. And it'll be so affordable because those technologies are so well perfected now that you could just run everything efficiently with solar and wind.
Oh, totally.
You shut down all, let's say, coal-fired, all natural gas, all hydroelectric, and just go totally wind and solar, and we'll be great.
I mean, even Elon Musk, with multiple billions of dollars he's willing to throw at these things, even he can't make that stuff work.
No.
Right? Like, I mean, he's improved it, and he's come a decent amount. Of course, a lot of government handouts in the middle of that as well. But still, we're still not solving that problem. And this is somebody who's actually competent.
Yeah.
And can you imagine the government trying to be involved in it?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, jeez.
She's also, you know, part of this Green New Deal is a national tax on CO2 emissions.
Of course.
That would cost the U.S. economy, they estimate, $4.21 trillion.
Over period of time?
Somewhere between $4.21 trillion and $5.98 trillion. So nearly $6 trillion. But
over the next few centuries?
10 years.
Oh, okay.
That's a full decade. I mean, $6 trillion in a decade.
That's it.
Wow.
Of course.
By 2040... as much as $12.32 trillion would be lost. Nearly one quarter of the country's GDP relative to what it would otherwise be could be lost, too, as a result of the carbon tax. I don't know how people listened to her, and maybe they just didn't listen to her. I don't know how you say, yeah, that sounds pretty good. Let's do this. How do you... I mean, I know it's explained in a way from her that is simplistic and would probably sound great because we're just the greatest country in the world and we can just do this stuff. So it's time. Well, how do you pay for it? You know, I'm always puzzled by people who ask me how I pay for it because you just do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those are the kinds of explanations you get from her. So maybe it fooled the people of the Bronx? I don't know.
I don't think, honestly, people make this big deal about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. And part of it is a lot of Republicans are obsessed with talking about her. And the reason for that, of course, is because they dream of this. We just talked about this with Bill Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
When Bill Clinton was going to be elected, if you were a conservative talk show host, you had to go on the air and say, I know he's saying the era of big government is over, but what he really means is he wants a lot more big government. And that was not an easy sell to people. You had to go through each policy individually. It was a dream of Republicans for a half century to convince voters, I swear to you, no, these people are basically socialists. Or at the very least, want to walk us down that road way too far. They want to get way too close to socialism. And every Republican since like 1945 has been saying, hey, guys, in socialism is encroaching on us. Look at this party is trying to do this to you. Now they're all saying they're socialists.
Yeah.
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is a dream for Republicans to go up against because she is saying exactly the thing they're trying to pin on the party. She's saying, yep, you're right. You've been saying we're socialists for 50, 60, 70 years, and you were right. That is a dream. That's why the Republicans love Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and then add in the additional amount that she usually screws up the details of her job and doesn't seem to know much about it. But that's not why she got elected in the Bronx, right? She got elected in the Bronx because they had a 900-year-old old guy, old white dude, who had been there for a zillion years. And
she looked better.
She looked better. She was younger. She was exciting. She was new. They wanted change. They had just gone through an election where they lost to Donald Trump. I mean, again, put your head in the mind of a leftist here. You're really upset about this. You can't believe this is happening. You know whose fault it is? It's those people who have been in control all this time. So they picked a new person. They had no idea. She was waiting tables at a restaurant a few months before this. They had no idea what her policies were. Yeah, she got out and she went on TV a few times. But mostly went on TV and made really bad mistakes. And she took an election that no one thought she could win. And she deserves credit for that. That's not easy to do. But, I mean, if the Democrats wind up going down that road that Perez is suggesting and saying that this is the future of our party.
We're gonna I think they're here, going to.
I think you're right.
I think they're going
especially
to.
Especially with this primary.
Yeah.
This is a blessing in disguise for Republicans, conservatives, whatever you want to say. Because
I hope so.
Because they're all going to have to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez themselves in this primary to win it.
Yeah,
you're either going to say you want universal jobs, universal health care, green taxes, every single little pet project of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. If you don't say you want it, you lose the primary.
I mean, she's talking basic income.
Mm-hmm.
So a guaranteed basic income for all Americans, universal health care, universal education. And there's no way you can provide all of that in the United States of America. You can't do it.
I mean,
it's just impossible.
A left-leaning think tank went through these numbers and said, now it did not include universal jobs, which as I'm assuming is going to be part of this eventually too.
It would have to be if you're going to get a basic income, right?
And that was at $32 trillion total
over
cost
10
over
years.
10 years. 32
yeah.
trillion.
Yeah.
And the actual, that was like, that was a pretty ridiculous estimate because it did stuff like, well, okay, minimum wage goes to $15. The assumption is people who make $13 will go up to $15, and they're trying to factor in the cost. And that makes sense, right? If you're making $13, they would raise it to $15. If you're making $8, they would raise it to $15. And they tried to factor that in. What they didn't factor in is if you have a guaranteed job and you're at $17 an hour working, why would you stay working at $17 and going 40 hours a week and busting your butt? When to do nothing, you're guaranteed a job at $15 an hour. How many people who are making $14 an hour now at a real job are going to say, well, why don't I just take the guaranteed job for $15 an hour and I don't have to actually work?
I'm going to say
everybody.
Right?
Anyone
all of them
thought it out, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
So that is another extreme cost on top of this.
It's just nuts.
It is.
And it's something that I think 5 years ago we couldn't have fathomed even being proposed in the United States, even under Barack Obama. I don't think I could have fathomed this being proposed.
He didn't propose it.
He didn't.
He had the opportunity to and didn't.
And did not. Mm-hmm. As radical as I thought Obama was, he didn't even do this.
Now, again, you'll see him jump in and support a lot of these programs.
Yeah,
now,
you will.
Because the party's moved left and now it's okay to say. You know, with Obama, again, even Obama would try to hide these things a little bit.
He did.
We were on the air trying to uncover the people he was hiring that used to be socialists. Now they're all just out there saying it. I mean, this is one of these Glenn predictions that he made many years ago.
They're going to take the mask off.
Yeah. And it's certainly true now.
And they're doing it. I remember that like once a month, Obama would make some half-hearted attempt to say something good about capitalism or entrepreneurial endeavors.
Yeah.
And they'd go, see, he's a capitalist. And then the rest of the time he's talking about income inequality and how the rich have too much. And at some point you've made enough money.
Right.
And redistribution of wealth. And that was his main theme But then every once in a while, he'd say something nice about capitalism so that he could say, no, I'm a capitalist. So he was still hiding it. But you're right. Now they're not.
Yeah. I mean,
they're taking the mask off.
One of the pieces of analysis of the failure in 2016 for the left is Bernie Sanders had the energy. Now, Bernie Sanders was obviously a heavily flawed candidate. He's 175 years old. He's some unknown guy from Vermont who came out of nowhere to get 40% of the primary vote against Hillary Clinton, one of the most recognizable names in all the world. And part of their analysis is that Hillary was too careful. She was trying to say that capitalism was good occasionally. She was trying to make it look like she could appeal to Republicans. Yep. That's what they think happened. They should have gone more Bernie Sanders. And if they go down that road with 30 of them competing to get to the left, this is going to be...
It's going to be fun to watch.
Socialism is going to be the right-wing position of the Democratic Party. They're going to be like, this guy's way too conservative. He's only a socialist. That is going to be where we go.
It is.
All right, 888-727-BECK is our phone number. We have another tweet from Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez that we have to delve into. We'll get into that in 60 seconds.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
You know, not everybody agrees with me, but even though Bitcoin is down significantly right now, I believe in cryptocurrencies and blockchain technology that's behind them. They're going to play a significant role in our future. And while it may end up in the end being crazy, I'm actually investing more in Bitcoin. It just makes sense that a trackable digital form of money will replace fiat money one day, doesn't it? It's important that you understand these and ask these questions and find the answers, because you have a chance right now to invest in this technology before it happens. And if I'm right, and I could be wrong, you could make game-changing money from a very small investment. But I want you to do your own homework and begin with Wall Street hedge fund manager Tika Tiwari. He's an expert in the cryptocurrency space. He's created a course that takes you through all of the basics and makes buying or selling of crypto as simple as buying and selling stock. For a limited time, you can take a risk-free 30-day trial of his course by going to smartcryptocourse.com. Do it today, smartcryptocourse.com, or call 877-PBL-BECK. Back.
That's Pat and Stu for Glenn on the Glenn Beck Program. 888-727-BECK. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, brilliant ideas. You know what this sounds like a lot to me? It sounds like the FDR Second Bill of Rights.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty much what she's proposing now. Universal income, guaranteed jobs. The only thing she and universal health care along with education, free education. The only thing she's not proposing that was kind of in the plan of FDR is free housing, is guaranteed housing. A decent home for everybody, I think, is how FDR put it.
Yeah, and she is proposing something as far as the housing, isn't it? Were we saying something of a guaranteed improvements, or what was it?
Upgrades to all homes. Well, you're going to have to upgrade the homes in America because they're not fitted for wind and solar power.
Okay,
so you're going to have to upgrade every home and every business in America.
That's multiple, obviously, thousands of dollars.
And who pays for that? I guess, does the government, or do you force every homeowner to upgrade their house?
This is just shows what an asinine idea this is.
Unbelievable.
There is an argument, right? And I think it's compelling in the future that maybe solar power will be able to provide energy
someday,
for us at some point
in
the future.
Yeah.
But that future does not come with panels on your house. Like that's a Band-Aid solution for people who want to do it right now. And if that's you, it might fit your need. Like I know, I think Glenn has solar
power. Oh, yeah, he does. He's got a really
ranch.
Good solar system
right.
at his ranch.
Because he lives in the middle of nowhere, mm-hmm. Where his house is in the middle of nowhere. And it makes sense for him to use it there. And that's the case for some people.
And by the way, it costs a fortune to do.
Yep.
And
maintenance
doesn't
is very
work.
High.
Yep. It doesn't work half the time.
It's up and down. But there's all sorts of problems with it, and they haven't mm-hmm. solved it yet. At
right.
some point, they may. But if they
I think
do
they
it,
will at some point.
I do too.
They just haven't.
But if they do it, it's not going to be localized on your roof panels. Certainly not the ones that exist now. They'll probably do it in a central area like they do with nuclear power, right? Or they do with coal mm-hmm. power, right? You're going to have a power plant. You're going to have it distributed that way. If the battery technology is able to improve by a lot, there's a possibility to store a lot of that power and utilize it in those ways. But I mean, it would have to improve in immense amounts at this point.
Yeah.
But you're certainly not going to start retrofitting houses for today's technology. That makes no sense. Germany did this.
It's absolutely crazy.
Germany did this. They did. They were like, you know what? Solar's the future. Global warming's bad. Blah, blah, blah. So they made a government program. They invested billions and billions of dollars in solar panels. And everyone was like, well, they're going to, this is great. They're going to cut the emissions. Yeah, it might be a little expensive, but the government was stepping in to make sure those bills weren't so high. So again, they're paying for the panels. Then they're paying
for all the subsidized
extreme cost, right? Yeah. They're making that better. But even with that, what happened was 5 years later, once they got all this stuff installed, it was ancient technology.
Outdated.
It was outdated technology. And so now what they have, their entire country is littered with ancient, old, inefficient solar panels that no longer do nearly as much as if they would have waited a few years for the technology to improve. And it has improved quickly. It's much better than it was 10 or 15 years ago. But it's not there for mass use yet. And it may never get there. I think it will. We have technologies that will do the sorts of things they're looking for, but they don't want nuclear power. Nuclear power is there. There's a group of environmentalists, leftists, who think global warming's the biggest deal in the world, and they are out there trying to convince other leftists, hey guys, nuclear power is the answer to this. It's safe. Yeah. It's there. We already know how to use it. There's a lot of technology in the nuclear.
The infrastructure kind of exists in most places already.
Exactly. You know, other countries have. I mean, France, I think it's 80% of their power comes from nuclear. But that's older technology, too. There's advancements in nuclear technology that have never been implemented here because we are we're all afraid of it.
Right.
You know, and that move could actually. It could do what both conservatives and liberals want, right? Liberals could get their global warming stuff. Conservatives could get power that we don't have to import, that, you know, we could solve our electricity problems endlessly.
Yeah, if you want the China syndrome to happen all over America. No, is that what you want, Stu?
It was a movie.
Is that what you're hoping for?
What you're talking about.
The China syndrome. Does that sound familiar to you?
I don't. Well, yes, it sounds familiar.
Yeah.
But it didn't happen. None of this has ever happened.
Look at all the people who died at Three Mile Island.
Nobody died.
Nobody. That's right.
The worst exposure at Three Mile Island was they set of full chest x-rays. That is legitimately the truth. That is legitimately the truth.
Yeah, it is.
A set of chest x-rays, which you go in and get willingly at the doctor's office. Okay, we have that Ocasio-Cortez tweet. We'll do that next. Here on the Glenn Beck Program, it's Pat and Stu in for Glenn.
Glenn's back on Monday. This is Pat and Stu for Glenn, 888-727-BECK. Been talking about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and her new Green Deal, which is fantastic. I hope it's implemented right away so everybody can retrofit their homes at their own cost or the cost of the government. That'd be just as good because either way, it's going to be really affordable.
Coincidentally, that's also our own cost. I don't know if anyone knows
this. Right. Either way, you're paying for
it. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's very New Deal sounding. It's very FDR, Second Bill of Rights sounding, which... His Second Bill of Rights was very similar to the Soviet Constitution.
Right.
And that's what all of her proposals are. It's communism. It's socialism. So, I mean, additional members like measures she's proposing, like basic income programs, universal health care programs, free education, of course, which she's talked about forever. So if you're going to have a basic income, you got to have guaranteed jobs. And that was proposed in the Second Bill of Rights as well. Trillions, I mean, literally trillions and tens of trillions of dollars for all of these programs.
But trust this 28-year-old waitress.
Oh, yeah, she's going to be
six
great.
Months ago. She's going to be fantastic.
Absolutely great.
Again, I have no I'm fascinated by her in the idea that I think it's a great thing for Republicans to have someone like this that so easily can define the left. It's so she is a cartoon character of what the typical representative on the left is, right? She's saying she's a socialist. She's constantly making mistakes about her job.
She thought she was going to be inaugurated and start signing bills when she got into office.
Right. Neither one of those things are things.
Not for a congressperson. No.
So that's that's easy, right? It's easy to make fun of her. I will say there's a risk there. The risk with the making fun of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is she may earn herself the air of I don't know what it is. I'll give you two people who have it though. Donald Trump and Joe Biden. sometimes Donald Trump says things and you're like, what is he talking about? But everyone's like, well, it's Trump and he just sometimes messes up. The same thing with Biden. Like, Biden will blurt things out and you're just like, ah, it's just Joe.
Yeah, it's factored into the equation for both of them now.
Exactly. And you and once you get that, you're like a superhero.
Yeah.
It's like you have an immunity to kryptonite, you know, and you can just do whatever you want. You can't be hurt. And that is, it's something that I've brought this up before. I think that it makes Biden an actual threat. I know no one thinks he is because he's a buffoon.
And it made Donald Trump president of the United States.
It was one of the things.
One of the things.
She couldn't rattle him. It didn't matter if he made a mistake. It didn't matter if he said it didn't matter. It just he's just able to roll through it because he has that.
He can exaggerate everybody. That's what he does.
That's what he does. Yeah. And it was okay because that's what he does. And she's getting to the point now where what she does is she makes silly comments that have no relation to the reality, and people sort of just laugh it off and make fun of her, and it's just part of her equation. And if she gets that.
That's a good point. Yeah.
It's something oddly.
She becomes a superhero.
Yeah. It's oddly desirable
world.
If you're a politician.
Yeah.
If you can, it's hard to get to that point. You know, it's hard because it's a rough road when people, at the beginning, people make fun of you and they think, oh, well, that's, he made this mistake and it feels like it's a big controversy. But if you get to that point where no one cares anymore and they just say, ah, it's just Joe Biden. It's just Joe. That's what Joe does. Come on. That's a great place to be.
It really is.
Screw up over and over again and no one cares.
It really is.
So Ocasio-Cortez, the one thing they say about her is, you know, the one thing you need to realize, she's very dangerous. You know why? Because she understands social media. She's out there. She's young. She knows. She's schooling all these politicians on social media. And I keep seeing the stuff that she's doing. She keeps going back and forth with conservative personalities. And I've yet to see her make a point. That is the only thing she does is turn herself into an immediate victim. She has a victim button. Which is the same button as her tweet button. And so when someone says something that is critical of her, she says, it's because I'm a woman, or it's because I'm young, or it's because I'm whatever, you know, whatever background she has. I don't even know. Whatever it is, that's the reason why someone's saying it. It's because of sexism or racism or classism or whatever. It's always her being the victim when someone is critical of one of her policies. Most famously probably is the Ben Shapiro example where Ben said, hey, I'd love to debate you on my show about your policies. And she said, are you catcalling me? And it's like, catcalling? You're a politician. He wants to debate you on his policies. No, she's not catcalling you. I don't think he has any interest in you in that way.
Wow.
And it was like, oh, well, I guess I have to be... a man's going to tell me where I have to go. No, it's an interview request. These are not difficult concepts. Michael Knowles, also from Daily Wire, was going criticizing one of her tweets, and she again came back and was like, "Oh, I'm being mansplained my history here by some guy." It's like everything turns her into a class identity victim. That's the only thing she does. So she is on Twitter as she's, you know, getting to, I guess, Washington and going through the process of becoming a new congresswoman. And she gets a plaque on the wall. And the plaque says, you know, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, representative, blah, 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 the Bronx. And she tweets out a picture of that. Now, tweeting out a picture of that is, of course, just a humble brag, right? She's just saying, look at me. I'm look how shiny and new my plaque is. But she writes... The tweet is, don't be fooled by the plaques that I've got. I'm still Alex from the Bronx. Now, brilliant. If she knows how to use social media, if that does not make you wince, squirm, squeamish, just watching a bad comedian bomb on stage, if that doesn't make you feel that way, you are in a cult. You are in a cult in which you cannot. You are like looking at David Koresh said something that normally would make me squeamish, but he's David Koresh, so I have to say it's good. That is you. If you are in a position in which you think it's a good idea and a funny, cute thing for someone to force their name into a crappy Jennifer Lopez song, then you are in a cult. And you need to be rescued from the cult.
Wait, you didn't just call Jenny from the block crappy?
Yes, I did. It was a joke when Jennifer Lopez did it. People made fun of her then for it. And she's coming out now doing it and putting, forcing her name into this song. And the other part, which is hilarious about it, is that Jenny from the Block, the piece of art that it is, is quite obviously and clearly a pro-capitalism song. It is a song about a person rising from the Bronx into incredible wealth, not bureaucratic power, incredible wealth. And she's saying, well, I have lots. I mean, again, what is it? Don't be fooled by the rocks that I got. She's talking. She's got lots of diamonds, guys. She's very rich. I mean, it's basically Jennifer Lopez
bragging about being
bragging
rich.
About being rich.
Yeah.
Which is amazing. This
but
is
I'm
why she
still
was made
humble
fun of.
Like when I was on the block.
Right. Exactly. She's celeb-splaining to her peons that it's okay. Mm-hmm. She's still a regular person despite the zillions of dollars that she has. And by the way, she worked for it. Unlike Ocasio-Cortez, she who is going to become rich because she will write a dumb book and a bunch of stupid people will buy it. Yeah. And she'll become a millionaire.
She'll go on a speaking tour, whatever, right. And she'll make millions of dollars.
Exactly. And that will happen not because she even could sing or act as well as Jennifer Lopez. So that's saying something.
yes.
But again, this is a song which explicitly is about, used to have a little, now I have a lot. She's talking about having a lot of money, and she has risen through the capitalist system from a point of not having a lot of money to incredible prominence and fame and glory
and
money.
And it's about actually distributing her money to other people who are poor. That's what it's about? Or the government comes in and takes it and then redistributes it to others who don't have as much as Jenny from the Block now.
I can't say I typically made it past the first chorus, but
I think it's in the fifth chorus.
Okay, hold on, let me read down here.
Scroll down a ways and...
I'm saying she's very repetitive here, but I don't see much about the government redistributing her wealth. There's no plan for... And why don't I pay as much taxes as my assistants? She never mentions that in this song. But I get... Like... The type of success Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has been able to achieve is achievable in the Soviet Union. Anyone can rise up to low-level bureaucracy in a communist state.
Yeah.
That is the problem with it. You aspire to get to bureaucracy. This is the whole problem with the system. And she is here sitting here thinking it's a giant achievement and something to brag about that she's become a congresswoman. It's something that our... representatives at the beginning used to be hesitant to even want. They used to say, you know what? Yeah, I'll do it, but I'm coming home for 6 months because I want to work the farm too. You know, this is something that we used to reject as a country. And now it's just cute and adorable that she's forcing her name into some C-level. I mean, it's not even a good Jennifer Lopez song. If you were going to say, here are the top 10 Jennifer Lopez songs.
Is there a good Jennifer Lopez song?
Yes, I'm sure there
I'm
is.
I'm not aware of one, but.
Oh, I could give you
a lot.
A ton.
Could you?
As soon as I press these buttons on my computer. And
find out the names of some of them.
Wait for a discography to pop up. I can name all of them. I mean, she's got to have one.
You would think.
Well,
but all I know is Jenny from the Block. So,
I mean, that's not even. I'm sure that's not even her biggest hit, Jenny from the Block. I mean, she actually had a pretty good run there.
On the Floor.
Yeah. So
Booty
as main artist. wait, no, I have the singles here. What are you going?
Ain't Your Mama.
What?
I'm Real. Dance Again.
Yeah, okay, here we go. Yeah, I have the note. Here we go. If You Had My Love was a number one song. Waiting for
Tonight.
Was
it really?
Yeah, Waiting for Tonight, number 8. Love Don't Cost a Thing, number 3.
Wow.
Play, number 18. I'm Real, number 1. Ain't It Funny, number 1.
No. Mm-hmm. On the, like, Billboard charts?
Yeah. She had a good run in the early 2000s.
What?
I'm Gonna Be All Right, number 10. Jenny from the Block went to number 3. So not even a number. Not even one of her.
Wow, am I glad I got out of music radio in about 1999. That's a relief.
And then
wow.
All I Have, number 1 again. And then she had On the Floor, number 3. I mean, she had a pretty decent run. And then,
wow.
Obviously, the huge hits like Made in Manhattan and Geely when it comes to the acting side.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a good run. But again... even if you hate all of those songs, at least she did something.
Yeah, right.
You know, what did Ocasio-Cortez do? She ran one campaign, which she, I mean, it was a pretty amazing win, but that's really the cause of her celebrity, right? It's not that she had amazing policies or was so brilliant. It was that she was, everyone was kind of surprised she won.
Yeah.
That is really that's her it. Celebrity.
That's it.
And I mean, when you think it's a good idea, it's not, I'm not criticizing, you know, you, if you're in the Bronx, you can vote for whoever you want. And yes, it's, I'm sure it's great that for a 28-year-old to be a congresswoman. It's got to be pretty incredible.
It's actually
at
not.
At some level.
No.
No? Okay. I'm trying to give some ground here.
It's actually not.
But I mean,
You shouldn't even be voting yet, right? When you're 28.
But objectively, forcing your name into a crappy Jennifer Lopez song is not making you some social media brilliant person. You're,
no.
You're not. You are. That is terrible. It's terrible. And it should make you wince. When you read it, you're like, oh, God. It's like there was a one of the things I love watching on the comedy shows. Like there was, I remember Cheers had Cliff Clavin. And he went up and tried to do stand-up comedy. There is nothing like watching someone bomb on stand-up comedy. It makes you, it gives you that internal, like, it like turns your organs inside
that
out. It's so uncomfortable to watch. That's how I felt reading that tweet. And if you didn't feel that way, you're in a cult. are you wearing some red robe right now? Are you? Is that what's happening to you? What is going on in your life in which you think that's a good tweet? That is not a good tweet. Her green policies are going to destroy the country. That tweet should destroy the internet. It's that crappy. Admit it.
888-727-BECK. More Pat and Stu for Glenn on the Glenn Beck Program. It's Pat and Stu for Glenn on the Glenn Beck Program. 888-727-BECK. Also, Bernie Sanders is running into a little bit of an issue now.
Yeah, I think it's revealing. It is a big expose, thousands of words, on Bernie Sanders and his 2016 campaign, where the claims are that Bernie Sanders paid the women in his campaign less.
Less than men.
Less than men. And also treated them terribly and sexually harassed them a lot. Now, there's no accusation against Bernie in particular.
It was his staff members.
It was
supposedly.
His staff members.
But, I mean, he's kind of responsible for paydays, right? I mean, if he sees, he's responsible for all of it, ultimately.
Mm-hmm.
And if it was Donald Trump who was being accused of harassment by some of his people, or he wasn't paying women as much as men, they'd be all over Donald Trump for this.
Yeah.
All over him. And we'll have to play what he said about it coming up here in a few minutes, because it's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. He takes no responsibility for it, essentially.
And that's, I think, there's something revealing about what's happening with Bernie Sanders and what the signals the Democrats are sending to Bernie this time around.
Like, we don't want you.
We don't want
seems
you.
Seems to be the signal.
I think that's it. Please don't run. We have new people here that are going to take your socialist mantle.
The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Today featuring Pat Gray and Stu Bergier. By the way, speaking of Pat Gray, on his show tomorrow, I could refer to myself in third person.
Oh, okay.
On his show tomorrow, he's going to be joined, I believe, by Stu Bergier for more on trivia.
Well, I felt like it was just something that I needed to step in for my friend Jeffy, Jeff Fisher, who had a heart attack. If you didn't hear, he's okay. He's recovering nicely at home, but I needed to step in for commissioner duties, and it had nothing to do with anything.
Nothing
else.
To do it with was, the fact that it's Philadelphia. Just, against Chicago. That just a coincidence to you in your mind?
I'm sorry. Eagles?
It's the Philadelphia Eagles.
I didn't even know that.
Huh.
Didn't
weird.
Even know that.
Really?
I just care about my friend Jeffy. That's it.
Wow, that's sweet.
That's all I do.
That's really sweet and thoughtful, Stu. That's nice.
I'm excited about this. More on trivia.
More on trivia tomorrow. Yeah. And now we were wrong on the last more on trivia before Christmas vacation. So we're 13-3 on the season.
Still pretty
They're
freaking
still
good.
Pretty dang good.
Pretty good.
We would have made the playoffs, I'll tell you that, and probably had a first round bye. But 13-3, and so the playoff version tomorrow on Pat Gray Unleashed, right before the Glenn Beck Program on the Blaze Radio and TV.
And you can get the podcast as well. Don't forget about that on iTunes.
Anytime you want it.
Yep.
Day or night. And that's where you'll find Jeffy's podcast, too, when he's back.
Yep, chewing the fat.
He should be back. He says he's going to be back next week, but we don't want him to push it if he's not, you know, feeling it.
Or we don't necessarily need him to come back at all. I mean, like, he's so good at home. And
like maybe he just stays.
Yeah, just stay. Jeffy's going through a heart attack, and at one point Pat's like, it's just, it's weird to do the Jeffy jokes right now. I mean, now remember, keep in mind, Jeffy was doing the Jeffy jokes in the ambulance on the way to the hospital.
Yes, he was.
So that is how ingrained into him.
And his wife is taking photos for social media.
Yes, in the middle of him getting into the ambulance.
So, to make sure that she documented the fact that the EMT was having a hell of a hard time pushing him up a hill.
Yes.
By himself.
Mm-hmm. But... as Pat's like, I don't know if I can do these Jeffy jokes anymore. It couldn't have been 8 seconds later he made a Jeffy joke. Like, it just rolled off his tongue like it was the easiest thing in the world.
So much a part of us now.
It is.
That
it
is. It's going to be hard.
Well, it will be interesting to see if Bernie Sanders can distance himself from this part of his campaign, because this is interesting. 2016, he apparently, during his historic run to 40% and to lose by several million votes to Hillary Clinton, during that historic run that everyone...
It was only 4 million, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was like 4 million votes. Yeah. It was like, oh, he stole... Hillary stole it. She won by 4 million votes over him. It was never... Like, it had nothing to do with superdelegates. It could have had something to do with superdelegates if he performed better.
Yeah.
But he didn't.
Yeah.
So they didn't need superdelegates. She just... I mean, look, she won in a very... unimpressive fashion. That's where I think people get confused. She beat Bernie Sanders in an unimpressive fashion, which indicated the lack of passion for her going into the general.
And I think people expected her to maybe sweep every state or something, and he won 22 states instead. So
I wouldn't have been surprised. You know, he wins Vermont. Maybe he wins New Hampshire. It's, you know, it's next door.
He maybe wins two or three.
Yeah, maybe he's four. Competitive in some of the early states, and then, okay, it's Hillary, and then she sweeps. I mean, the fact that she lost more than, let's say, five states is an absolute embarrassment and should have told the Democrats that she was in big trouble from the beginning.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, she was absolutely the worst possible candidate that they could have run, and they all seem to admit it now. But at the time, they acted like she was the most inspirational person of all time. Well, Bernie didn't make a lot of friends pushing her to the brink among Democrats, because...
No, they wanted him to get out.
Get out.
So she could focus on Trump.
Mm-hmm. And he kept staying in and pushing and pushing and pushing, making her take further left-wing positions on certain issues.
Mm-hmm.
It was not helpful to Democrats that Bernie did that. At least some Democrats believe that. So this is what I believe is... I suspect is behind this article in the New York Times today. Times has come out with an article entitled "Sexism Claims from Bernie Sanders' 2016 Run: Women Paid Less and Treated Worse," and it goes through women telling their stories, Me Too stories, right? About they're at work, they're told, a guy says, "I want to run my fingers through your hair," and then hits on her all day, and she can't get away from him, and she wants to quit, but she doesn't know how. All the stories that you heard, I mean, not to Harvey Weinstein levels, but like the stuff that you heard, like this coercion, this making women uncomfortable in the workplace, all of those things.
Just harassment.
Yeah, harassment, sexual harassment. They're making those claims. Now, again, we're supposed to believe all women, as we all know. No woman has ever told a lie in history, which is amazing.
Even if you apologize, tough.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sorry. You lose your job.
Right. And certainly, if you act like aloof about it and you don't care about it, then you're really in trouble, right? That's the way, that's the pattern here. Now, Sanders is asked about this on, I believe it was CNN, about these harassment claims. Listen to his answer.
Just lastly, I want to ask you about an article that was published in the New York Times today. In it are allegations describing episodes of sexual harassment and demeaning treatment, as well as pay disparity in your 2016 campaign. I'm wondering, were you aware of those allegations during the campaign? And if you do run into 2020, how can you ensure something like that doesn't happen again?
Good question. And the answer is, Anderson, I'm very proud of the campaign we ran in 2016. You know, we started it.
Wait a minute. You're very proud of the campaign after you just outlined all the harassment and the pay disparity, and you're proud.
4% of the polls. We ended up winning 22 states, 13 million votes. I think we changed the nature of political discourse in this country, raising issues that are now kind of mainstream, which were then considered extreme.
That's a good
and
point.
Fringe.
Yeah.
But
yes,
when our campaign.
Yeah, he made socialism mainstream.
Yeah.
Congratulations on that. That's great.
Grew from, I think we started with three or four paid employees. And over a period of a few months, as the campaign exploded, we went up to, I think, 1,200 employees.
So what you're saying is it was too much for you to manage, but now you want to manage the United States of America with 320 million people?
Is that more than 1,200?
Yeah, it is, a little bit, slightly.
I will say, the other thing, too, is when you have 1,200 employees, you're going to have to harass some of them. That is a, that's a
it
general, it's business 101. You're going
it's
to grope some of the 1,200.
Right.
That's something that happens, and we all need to understand it.
And I am not going to sit here and tell you that we did everything right in terms of human resources, in terms of addressing the needs that I'm hearing from now, that women felt disrespected, that there was sexual harassment, which was not dealt with as effectively as possible. What I will tell you is that when I ran for re-election in 2018 in Vermont, we put forward the strongest set of principles in terms of mandatory training, in terms of women, if they felt harassed, having an independent firm that they can go to. And I think that's kind of, you know, the gold standard for what we should be doing. So I certainly apologize to any woman who felt that she was not treated appropriately. And of course,
if I run,
we will do better next time.
And just to be clear, you seem to indicate that you did not know at the time about the allegations. Is that correct?
Yes. I was a little bit busy running around the country trying to make the case.
Oh, he was busy.
He was busy.
You don't have time to check on, you know, how employees are being treated if you're busy. Now, I didn't know you were busy.
It's completely rational to understand that he was busy and he doesn't know every single employee interaction. Would never be given the benefit of the doubt if it was a conservative doing that or a Republican doing it.
Nope.
And I will say this, like, the fact that this came out at all, the fact that they're bringing out this these allegations and asking these follow-ups and pushing him to say, wait a minute, what do you mean he was running around the country? He didn't care?
It shows how
they feel about him.
It's changed. Yep. It's changed with him.
He's
now the way
boy.
It's kind of changed with Hillary.
Yeah. And
they're done with both of them.
I think they're saying, Bernie, we've got the socialist policy thing down. We know how to do that. We don't need you anymore. I'd rather have someone new and young and fresh to run.
May I also point out the fact that there is no A in the word better.
No, it's beta. B-E-T-T-A.
No, I'm pretty sure it's
It's B-E-T-T-A-H is the way you spell it.
So there is an A.
There is an
in
A.
The word. Okay.
Okay.
So corrected.
It's all right.
All right.
888-727 Beck is the number. You're never more than 60 seconds away from the show. We're going to take a quick 60-second break and then back with an amazing quote from someone on the Bernie Sanders campaign. Back in a second.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
You know what's smart? Figuring out who you need to hire to take your business to the next level in 2019. You know what else is smart? Going to ZipRecruiter.com/Beck and hiring the right people. Now, unlike other job sites, ZipRecruiter finds the qualified candidates for you. It has powerful matching technology that nobody else has. It scans thousands of resumes to identify people with the right skills, education, and experience, and then goes out and actively invites them to apply to your job. So you get a qualified candidate fast. This is why ZipRecruiter is rated number one by employers in the U.S. This rating comes from hiring sites on Trustpilot with over 1,000 reviews. Right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive address, ZipRecruiter.com/Beck. If you love the show, we ask that you support our sponsors. I also want you to know that all of our sponsors are premium, and this is ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter.com/BECK. ZipRecruiter.com/Beck. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Ooh, just looking at the Dow, it's down another 571 today. That's ugly.
It is ugly.
I'm starting to get a little nervous.
There have been a lot of ups and downs. Now they're saying that something like 60% of people believe we have a recession coming in the next year. And if you remember right, back in 2008, and we'll get to the Bernie Sanders thing in just a second, but if you remember back in 2008, I remember this. You had some of the biggest, terrible market crash days in history.
Yeah.
But you also had some of the biggest gains in a single day in history.
Yeah.
And we've seen that bouncing back and forth the past couple
weeks.
I mean, there's a day one over 1,000 points.
Yeah, last week. It went up 1,024 points or something like that.
Biggest day in history.
Yeah.
And then you're the next, 3 days later, seeing down 600 points.
The other thing we had back in 2007 that we again have now is Glenn Beck saying, get out of the stock market.
I know.
And it's starting to kind of have an effect on me. I'm wondering, should I be doing that?
Yeah. I think it's a good time to at least think about your risk levels. If you're close to needing the money, you may want to reduce those risk levels. Again, I'm no financial advisor, and certainly Glenn is not either.
Very true.
We've seen that before. But he has a good sense for this type of thing, and so he'll be back on Monday to talk about it in detail. One other thing I wanted to pull out of this article before we move off from it, Glenn, or Pat, when it comes to Bernie Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
you know, again, the campaign being accused of sexual harassment, he's basically blowing it off. Look, I was all around the country. He's trying to say, like, well, Jeff Weaver, his campaign manager, says anybody who has committed sexual harassment on the campaign would not be asked back. Well, that's good. That's a good first step.
Thank you.
We're not going to.
That's great.
Look, Harvey Weinstein, you're welcome anytime at the campaign headquarters. Like, of course, you're not going to do that. But listen to this quote. And this is, again, his defense. This is something where Jeff Weaver, he's the head of the campaign from 2016, and he's trying to defend the whole situation. Yeah, we had problems, but we were going to solve them. This is what he says, essentially says the problems are. Quote, was it too male? Yes. Was it too white? Yes. Would this be a priority to remedy on any future campaign? Definitely. You want to remedy the priority? This is a priority remedy to get rid of men and white people? Now, again, the very basic test of racism or sexism, and it's an easy thing that we can all do ourselves, is read a quote word for word and just change the color or the sex. So let me attempt this for you.
Let's try
think
that.
Think about how this would sound if any Republican said these words. Was it, were there too many chicks? Essentially what he's saying. Was it too female? Too many females on the campaign? Yes. Were there too many blacks? Yes. But it would be a priority to remedy this on any future campaign.
Would that be acceptable? Not in anybody's world.
No.
Would not be acceptable. It shouldn't be acceptable. But for some reason, for whites and for men, it is.
It is.
And Christians. Whites, men, and Christians, you can discriminate if you want.
It's so strange. It's like the very basic tenet that everybody should be able to get behind is don't make decisions based on skin color. Don't make decisions
or gender.
Based on gender. Mm-hmm. These are very easy things. These are like, I don't know anybody who does that. Does anybody sit around and say, you know what, I would do this except he's black, or I would do this. I'm sure there are
nobody
people out
I know.
There. Right. Like, again, you know, people said Jews will not replace us and chanted with torches in Charlottesville. We know there are people out there, but it's a very small minority of a minority of a minority who think that way in the year 2018. It is I will give a quote to the New York Times position that we have too many white men around.
Mm-hmm.
We are making decisions based on skin color. We are making decisions based on gender. And not only will I give that quote to the New York Times, it's my defense.
It's amazing.
It's so unquestioned that you could have too many white people or too many men that you will say, you know what, Your Honor, I my attorney's going to make my best case argument. Here it is. Yeah, we had too many whites around. Like, that's completely okay. No one will question it. Don't make decisions based on skin color. Don't make decisions based on race. Don't make decisions based on gender. Don't make decisions based on your religious, if you're trying to exclude a religious group. This is what the country was supposedly founded on. And not every person in that era
executed
it well.
And also reinforced in the 60s with somebody we all revere, Martin Luther King.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's just the opposite of that now. That's just all been discarded. There's no don't judge a man by the color of his skin. That's all we judge them on.
Yep.
Too many whites, not enough blacks, not enough Hispanics, not enough women, too many men. That's all we think. Well, what about their character? What about their skills? Can we talk about merit at all? No, we can't. So that's out the window. It's been flushed down the toilet.
I mean,
now,
what happened to the days where we had artists who would come to the table and say, it's raining men. Hallelujah. It's raining men.
Right.
They were excited about the men who were raining down on our society.
They don't seem excited
they
anymore.
That song couldn't be written today.
No.
You would not
maybe,
be able...
Maybe that's a good thing.
Okay,
that
that's
I think
the one
it.
Benefit.
Yeah, that's
okay,
the one thing.
I'll give them that.
All right, 888-727-BECK.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Let's talk about something real here. You can put off a lot of things in life. You don't have to join a gym. You can clean your gutters, but usually they will rot off your house. But here's another thing you shouldn't put off, and that is getting home security. It's your home. It's your family. It's your stuff. You want to protect it, but there's always something holding you back, and most likely it's the idea of paying an awful lot of money or paying a middleman and being indebted forever. It also could be the fact that they want you to schedule a 6-hour installation window. You don't have time for that. Simply Safe Home Security has gotten rid of all of those reasons not to get home security. And I'm about to tell you how to save a ton, too. These guys are really great. They don't have any contracts. There's no wiring. There's no markup. There's no installation windows. Just professional quality home security with 24-hour professional monitoring. Now you can save hundreds on SimpliSafe with their extended holiday sale. Just go to SimpliSafeBeck.com to get this great offer at SimpliSafeBeck.com. Save on home protection today. But hurry, the holiday sale ends January 8th. That's SimpliSafeBeck.com.
Pat and Stu for Glenn. Glenn's back on Monday, 888-727-BECK. Jerry Brown, who I think is finally going to be done in his rule of California, right? Isn't that coming to an end finally?
I mean, he's got to run again, right? He can't just go away.
I hope so.
I hope so.
He's only, what, 104 or something? And
isn't he the one, too, that ran for president and actually, as a Democrat, and was proposing a flat tax? Isn't that him? Or am I getting him confused with one of his competitors? It was in that race.
I don't know. When he was, like, way back in the...
Like the 80s
or... I think he first ran. Was it the 60s he first ran for president? I don't know. It seems like it. He's on to something right now with his, climate change discussion.
He is.
He's on to something.
And he is, as is always the case, if you are on the left, you're totally free. You have a free pass to compare anyone to a Nazi. That's always okay. Now, we heard yesterday from Bernie Sanders talking about how we should treat climate change like it's a massive military attack and we should respond accordingly, which usually means we blow up people who hit us like that. Like the Nazis, or let's say the Japanese, nice and clear example. Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor. We got pretty pissed about that. And we did some stuff after that. Two nuclear bombs, right? Two atomic bombs we dropped on them.
Eventually, yes.
Yes. So that was kind of how important we felt that was. I'd like to assume that he is not saying we should nuke oil companies and climate change deniers. However, again, here's another piece of the same rhetoric. This is from Jerry Brown talking to NBC News on, I believe, the broadcast where they said, we're not going to show the other side of this issue, we promise.
I think it was that same broadcast.
With Chuck Todd. Here he is talking about climate change.
I would point to the fact that it took Roosevelt many, many years to get America willing to go into World War II and fight the Nazis. Well, we have an enemy, though different, but... very much devastating in a similar way, and we got to fight climate change, and the president's got to lead on that.
Very much devastating in a similar way.
Similar way. Almost the exact same way. If you don't know, the 0.9 degree temperature rise Celsius over the past 100 years has put millions of Jews in concentration camps. Very, very devastating. It's like, again, you're allowed to do this when you're on the left. The ADL... Anti-Defamation League has gone after Glenn about 20 times.
Anytime he mentioned the word Nazis or Hitler, they were all over him.
Oh, of course. We have a much crazier example coming up from Hank Johnson that you need to hear today. But it just doesn't seem to. There's no consequence to it when you're on the left. It's such a strange thing. If you actually believe that these problems are like this. And your Nazi level problems when it comes to climate change. You can't get away with your private jet travel. You can't get away with your SUVs,
right.
Even if it's for security. Would you lose
all credibility.
Look, I'm gonna go a little Nazi for the next few hours because that's the only way I can do it. I'm gonna hate Jews for the next few hours. But after that, everything will be fine. No one did that.
If you believe it's catastrophic, like they say they do, there's absolutely no reason for you to get on a private jet and fly anywhere.
Never.
There's no reason, ever.
Or any jet.
Yeah.
What is it so important
true.
For you to go to?
Right. You can do it on the internet if you have a big meeting.
Certainly not for business. Maybe you can argue for family if you had to go somewhere. Someone's dying in the hospital. Maybe you do that.
Maybe.
But you'd never do a meeting. You never fly to a meeting.
No way.
This is the whole world is at stake. You're telling me everyone's going to die and you're prioritizing your business meeting over it? It really makes no sense when you actually think about it.
Pat Pat and Stu for Glenn on the Glenn Beck Program. Quick reminder, you can join both of us on Pat Gray Unleashed tomorrow, immediately preceding the show, 6 to 8 Central. For more on trivia. In the second hour, we'll be doing more on trivia. So it should be a lot of fun. It's the Eagles versus Chicago Bears this week. Playoff more on trivia.
I'll be stepping in as an impartial.
Totally impartial, I'm sure. It was just a coincidence it happened to fall on the Philadelphia game time, right? You didn't specifically say, yes, I'll come in and do this just because it was Philadelphia.
No, I'm just a service to my country is how I look at it, so.
That's really, we appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Thank you for doing that.
No problem.
All right, the guy who brought us this.
My fear is that the whole island will become so overly populated that it will tip over and capsize.
We don't anticipate that.
I love that response.
That might be my favorite response to any statement ever. We don't anticipate that, you know, Guam tipping over and capsizing. Now, that same guy brought us something equally brilliant yesterday.
He did. Hank Johnson, of course, is his name. And Hank is a representative. And he is speaking at the NAACP to a bunch of Democrats there. And he's talking about this situation where we have a president that is easily compared to another leader. And he makes the point so eloquently that I think you need to hear it. Listen.
Adolf Hitler rose to power to lead Germany in 1932.
Oh, man.
After democratic elections, he rode a wave of nationalism and anti-Semitism to power. Replace anti-Semitism with all Latinos crossing our borders are rapists, drug dealers, and murderers. Does that sound familiar?
Jeez, unreal.
Hitler was accepting of violence towards the achievement of political objectives. Trump encouraged violence against protesters at his rallies. And his messaging about Charlottesville, that there were bad people on both sides, sent a powerful message of approval to the far-right racists in America. Hitler led a political movement of anti-education, anti-science racists who focused on nationalism with rhetoric about making Germany a strong country, which would result in prosperity for the German people who were hurting due to the disruption caused by the Wall Street crash of 1929 and the effects of the Great Depression. Sound familiar?
No.
His aim was to unite the blonde-haired, blue-eyed, Germanic, Aryan people against the Jews, the Italians, the Polish, anybody else. Hitler did not start the Nazi Party, but he took over the party with charisma and leadership. The Nazis and Hitler became synonymous. Much like Hitler took over the Nazi Party, Trump has taken over the Republican Party. It's now known as the Trump Republican Party.
It's catchy.
Yeah, it really
Trump's
is.
Vow creative. During the campaign, stop Muslims from coming into our country. That became a reality, ladies and gentlemen.
There's no Muslims here now.
I mean, that's despicable. It's absolutely despicable.
And just inane, right? It's like the points are terrible points. Should we break this down a little bit? Because, I mean, I tried to write down what he was doing. Okay, first of all, he said Hitler rose because of democratic elections,
right?
And so did Trump. So you're against democratic elections? Like, what is the point even there? Yes, they both were elected democratically. That both of those things are true. I don't understand. Are you not being critical of Hitler? It's a strange point because you assume everything he's saying about Hitler and Trump he says are bad. But yeah, they both came up in democratic elections. I don't know what that has to do with anything. Nationalism, I mean, they both have said they're nationalists, but I mean, that does not...
For their countries.
For their country.
Both of them are for their countries.
However, the countries had much different messages, right?
Yeah, they did.
Behind
really
the
did.
Nationalism. Like, I'm no fan of nationalism. However, the idea that if you take nationalism as I think it's intended by most people, it's just patriotism. It's saying America's the priority. Now, as a philosophy, it's much deeper than that. But I don't think that's even the way Trump means it. Right? He's just talking about he's talking about prioritizing the United States policies, policy-wise. Right?
Like
we prioritize us before we prioritize other countries. Anti-Semitism, he says, is the same as calling Mexicans racist and not letting immigrants in. Now, that is an interesting stretch there. Saying you want you want to cure the Jewish problem is a lot different than saying we want less illegal immigration. And by the way, saying we want legal immigration. It's like if Hitler was like, look, we don't want any more Jews crossing the border illegally, but we do want to encourage them to come legally. Like that, I don't remember that speech in Nuremberg. Like that was not that was not the message. Then you have he's okay with violence. Hitler was okay with violence, and Trump encouraged it at the rallies. Look, I don't like. You know, Trump did say at one point, "Hey, you know, give him a, we'll take him outside and we'll beat him up or whatever it was." It's well well covered in the 2016 campaign. It was not something that I was a fan of. This is a different level. Again, he's doing it half with a smile. I'm not going to excuse it because I didn't like it from Trump. But he's not. He did not advocate for the deaths of millions of people at his rallies.
Nor was he responsible for ordering the deaths of millions of people.
No.
So
I think there's a pretty wide gap on that one. He also says, I thought this was interesting. He says he wants to unite the blonde Aryan people versus the Jews. And he says he was for an anti-education, anti-science, racism platform. I mean, that's just, those are just terms they throw around, like anti-science. I mean, that's what, that he doesn't like global, he doesn't agree with you on global warming, I guess. And, you know, those are typical attacks. But he ends it with,
from the guys who tell us there's 97 genders.
Yeah.
And then tell us we're science deniers. From the people who won't admit that a fetus growing in a womb is a human being.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
It's laughable.
It is.
It's laughable. And then finally, you know, Hitler did not start the Nazi Party, but he took it over. Where Trump didn't start the Republican Party, but he took it over. Like he seems to be advocating that like Trump made the Republican Party from a thing that was okay into this terrible thing that it is today, which is a strange. First of all, he never seemed to like the Republican Party before Trump either. But secondly, are you saying that, is that what you think about the Nazis? Like they were an okay party until Hitler got there? That's not true. Just so you're aware, they were bad. The reason Hitler joined is because he liked all the anti-Jew stuff. It wasn't like, you know, this is a party of individual freedom, but I'm going to take it towards the, you know, the anti-Semitism. Right? No.
No.
They were a fascist party that didn't like Jews at the beginning. It was one of the things that when he's shown up at the beer halls that he liked so much. it was not the other way around, per se.
And again, where's the ADL on this stuff? It used to be, and probably still is, like when Glenn even says the word Hitler, he's in trouble with the ADL, and they're trying to launch boycotts against him. This guy can make a direct comparison between Adolf Hitler and Donald Trump, and they don't care. There's complete silence on the part of the ADL. How's that possible? What hypocrisy. It's really, it's despicable. All of it.
It really is. There doesn't seem to be any pushback on it. I mean, let me give this story. This is an Ohio doctor at the Cleveland Clinic, a first-year resident, was fired. Laura Kalab. They went back through her social media, found some interesting things, Pat. Now, I don't know if this is okay, but she she called for violence against Jews. She defended Hamas. She trivialized the Holocaust, compared Israel to Nazi Germany, which is really offensive because, I mean, like, the only reason Israel exists,
right?
Like they made Israel into gave them their rightful homeland. Why? But I mean, the mood of the nation was like
terminated in Europe.
Then one tweet from 2012, the doctor said that she would purposely give Jews the wrong medications. She also referred to Jewish dogs and said Allah will take the Jews. Now, this is language you hear from people like Louis Farrakhan. Which I've never heard word one of criticism from Hank Johnson. In fact, you know, if you want to go through the sort of extreme anti-Semitism that comes from some elements of the Muslim community, even here in the United States, but certainly globally. I don't have never heard word one of criticism of that from Hank Johnson.
No.
You don't get that at all. I've not heard word one of criticism from Hank Johnson about the Women's March organizers who had many of these same opinions. And in fact, expressed them in the formational meeting of the organization. They actually talked about their distaste for Jews as they were planning the Women's March. That I'm sure, as anyone here listening to this, knows people who are their Facebook friends that went to that march. Mm. It was founded with distaste of Jews in mind.
That is amazing.
Amazing. And I have not heard one word of criticism from Hank Johnson on that.
Wow.
They don't care. No credibility.
And as far as the other thing he mentioned about Trump, by saying at Charlottesville, there were bad people on both sides. They know as well as we do that Trump was referring to the Antifa people who were there in Charlottesville as well. Those are the bad people to whom he was referring when he was talking about, you know, there was a lot of bad characters on both sides. He wasn't saying that the neo-Nazis were good people.
Right. And he was saying, too, that there also were people who were protesting the statues coming down that were not neo-Nazis.
Right.
They were just like, I don't want this to happen. That you're erasing history. That is a completely mainstream, legitimate point. Poll it. You'll find plenty of people who are going to say, you know what, as much as I don't like the Confederacy, you shouldn't be taking statues down because you're screwing with history.
Yeah.
It's a very standard point. And, Trump at times has difficulty articulating certain concepts on the fly. It does occasionally happen.
No. It's not, wow.
Look, it's not as strong.
That's out of the blue, Stu. It's out of the blue. No, yeah, speeches and maybe English is not his strong point. I mean, he has a difficult time expressing, or he has a proclivity for some hyperbole. He will exaggerate a tad from time to time.
And I think, saying it's the both sides thing was a mistake in that moment.
Yeah.
And even the point, trying to make the point probably wasn't a good idea, but he just didn't, this is the problem. The media will go out after Trump and say, oh, look at him. He just made another stupid mistake and he said something wrong, right? They love that angle on Donald Trump. Hey, he does. Bush did it too, right? Bush screwed up and said things that were wrong a lot. He stumbled over himself all the time. And they like exploiting that. But when he screws up in a way that makes it easier for him to look like a racist or an anti-Semite, they just act as if that's exactly what he meant. Oh, he's a perfect craftsman of the English language.
Yeah,
and that, like, it's a double standard.
So dishonest.
Again, like, and it's just so dishonest, and they use it to their advantage. I mean, here's a guy. This is he's talking about global warming. Now, what is the conservative point on global warming? Look, we don't know all the facts on it. It looks like it's warmed at some level over the past 100 years. But is this catastrophic? Is this something that we can innovate past? Is it something that's
happened before?
Something that we can monitor, and if it becomes more of a problem, we can try to address it. But we can't address it at this cost, right? Like, that's essentially the conservative view, give or take. This is how Donald Trump said this. He said, one of the problems that a lot of people like myself, we have very high levels of intelligence, but we're not necessarily such believers. You look in our air and water, and it's right now at record clean. Now, if you were to talk to Donald Trump, probably like in the back room of the White House, and you're talking about global warming, he would probably be able to explain it the same way we were just talking about it. He probably at least knows some of it, and he knows the general concept. It's not friendly. It's going to kill jobs. We don't know enough.
Are you saying it's not at record clean? Is that what you're saying?
But to say, you look at our air and water and it's right now at record clean is not, it's just not the language that we all speak.
Yeah.
He just kind of says stuff and it's not always right. But to act as if every time he makes a mistake like that, you're locking him into, whenever it benefits you, you act like he is, Walt Whitman. It's like, it's,
right.
And then whenever it is like just a silly mistake, well, then you can just laugh at him and brush it off. You got to take it both ways. You know, he doesn't speak precisely. That is not what his job is. I mean,
even though he does have the best words, he's got all the best words.
That's true.
So, but he doesn't use them in precise order sometimes.
Sometimes.
You know, and what are you going to do? 888-727-BECK. Pat and Stu for Glenn, the Glenn Beck Program, 888-727-BECK.
We were talking about Jerry Brown earlier and his comments comparing climate change deniers to Nazis. But when we were kind of thinking, didn't he run for president? Didn't he have a flat tax? It's true. 1992, Jerry Brown ran for president with a 13% flat tax as one of his major platforms.
That is seriously unbelievable.
With no room at the beginning of income off the tax. So everybody paid it the whole way. How far has the Democrat Party come?
I mean,
that's
incredible.
The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Featuring Pat and Stu. Glenn's back Monday. In the meantime, it is us. And you can join us tomorrow on Pat Gray Unleashed for more on trivia, second hour of the show. So it's the last hour right before the Glenn Beck Program. And the featured matchup is the Philadelphia Eagles versus the Chicago Bears. And for some reason, Stu has signed up for this particular week.
No, I didn't even realize that was
happening.
Didn't
even realize it.
Yeah, I'm glad I'm there to make sure to keep it fair. Because sometimes people, you know.
Look, I'm sure you have no bias there, right?
Well, look,
you just want it to play out as it always would.
Of course, of course. I'm just I would be concerned that others might try to take out the defending Super Bowl champions. I will make sure that this is absolutely fair, above board.
Wow, that's very open-minded of you. Thank you. In Syracuse, the police obtained a search warrant from a judge recently to compel doctors to perform an invasive rectal probe of a man they thought was hiding drugs, even after an X-ray showed there was nothing there to find. So what happened was, this guy's driving his truck home, and police pull him over because of a burned out taillight. And for some reason, they decide, I think maybe they got a hit from a drug sniffing dog, that there might have been some kind of problem on the seat. So they searched the truck for 2.5 hours looking for drugs, and they found none. So then they patted the guy down. They checked his, you know, chest area. They checked both pant legs. They patted him down, and then they said, now take off your pants. And he's like, take off my pants? No. Okay, well, we're going to have to take you in then. So he took off his pants, and they still found no drugs. So then they drove him to the hospital and took him to the emergency room, where they told the doctors to give him this rectal exam. And the doctor said, well, we'll do an X-ray. And they said, okay, go ahead and do the X-ray, and then we'll find the drugs that way. So they did the X-ray. The X-ray showed nothing. Then they said, okay, we're going to need a rectal exam. You're going to have to go up and probe him there. At this point, the doctor said, no, we're not doing that. And they said, we've got a warrant. You've got to do it. They said, no, we're not doing that. So the hospital lawyer got involved, and he said, yeah, you're doing it, because the police have a warrant. So they gave the guy a rectal exam. They probed his rectum.
And how?
Rectum darn near killed him.
Tons of
but
drugs, right?
But they found zero drugs then. Okay, so after all of that, I mean, hours and hours, the invasive procedure at the hospital ordered by police. The guy has, you know, all of these procedures done to him. They looked, I guess they probed him 3 separate times, and each time found nothing. Then he was mailed a bill 2 weeks later for $4,000 for the procedure.
What did this guy do?
Kind of a bad day for this poor guy.
He did something wrong. He did something wrong to somebody.
Well, he had a record. Uh-oh. And so they just suspected, well, this guy's, you know, he's a longtime criminal, and we know he's got some drugs. But they he didn't.
I suspect it's more than that. Like, they were, you know, they were watching a series on Netflix together, and he went ahead. You know, it was something like that. Because only that sort of violation could get you.
That is a violation that will get you that sort of a rectal probe. It is. It is.
Well, these are
crazy,
fascinating stories. And, you know, look, the left would love you to believe that every police officer is doing this all the time.
And they're not.
But they're not.
They're not.
But there is every once in a while one of these cases where someone just seems to have something mm-hmm. against a person.
Yeah.
And they just are going to keep going until they get them convicted of something. You know, I mean, the record for drug sniffing dogs is questionable. There's not really
Definitely.
A lot of evidence that it's a nice indication, maybe. Like, it gives you a heads up. Okay, well, maybe.
But it's not an exact science.
No, not at all. Some court has recognized false positives among drug dogs can occur and mm-hmm. can be as low as 62% accurate. Another study says from an Illinois police precinct found a 56% erroneous alert rate. I mean, this is...
Wow, 56%. That's right. More than half the time.
Because, right. I mean, again, if you're just flipping a coin, you're
wow.
probably going to do better than that. Does this guy have drugs? Yes, no. I mean, I think there are... It's not that they're not valuable. It's just, if you go through an x-ray and there's no drugs, you shouldn't believe the dog.
And you shouldn't have to go any further than that.
You shouldn't have to go to an
How
x-ray.
How is he hiding it from an x-ray?
I don't know.
You can't. But this stuff kind of... This stuff happens from time to time. In 2016... the federal government and an El Paso hospital agreed to pay a New Mexico woman roughly $1.6 million for the six hours of invasive cavity searches they did to her when a drug-sniffing dog alerted to her. In 2014, in Deming, New Mexico, they had to pay David Eckert $1.6 million after he was suspected after they did two x-rays, two digital probes of his... backside mm-hmm. Three enemas.
I mean, you got to stop at two enemas. Two enemas is fine.
Three is ridiculous.
Three is over the line. Yes. I think just a tad.
And a colonoscopy.
What?
And they found no drugs.
Somebody
Can
really
you
was interested
that?
In this dude's colon.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what there's something else there.
Why didn't you just remove his small intestine while you're at it? I mean,
don't give them ideas.
You're right.
This is why we cheer
wow.
for a small government.
That's the point.
Like, honestly, even if you, let's say, and I'm sure in these situations they were sure, quote unquote, in their heads that this person had drugs. Should you, even if they do have them, should you be able to give colonoscopies and enemas and...
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
No, I don't
think
so.
Think that that's right. I mean, if you want to wait them out, here's what's going to happen, sir. You're gonna hang out for a little while in this bathroom, mm-hmm. and we're going to eventually get the answer to our questions.
And we're going to go through it.
I mean, that's...
Okay.
Gross, but yeah. no more gross than all the other stuff they're doing to the guy. And again, that's really invasive. Mm-hmm. You know, if someone did this to themselves, this is the natural process will play itself out. And you'll have your evidence at some point within the next 24 to 48 hours.
You get stories like this occasionally, and then when you couple it with the fact that when they pull you over, they can confiscate your car or take cash if you have it on you. It's that kind of stuff just shouldn't be a part of the American justice system. You know, that's like Soviet activity. That's not America.
No. The law should not be utilized... Yes, and in this way to maximize terror against an individual, right? I mean,
no.
You know, I'll give you another example that I think is, the audience will certainly remember. The guy in at the Masterpiece Cake Shop. Now, what they're doing to him is technically legal. They're harassing him. They're saying...
Is this the Colorado Bake Shop?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're doing it again.
Yeah.
On the trans cake that he wouldn't make.
So first, if you remember, of course, they said, hey, mm-hmm. you got to make my gay wedding cake. He said no. They took him to the Supreme Court. He won. Mm-hmm. Now they're like, well, someone else came in. Again, no trans person on earth that would be
offended
by this.
On the same day as the Supreme Court ruling.
Right.
Did this.
No one would go in there and be like, it's not some coincidence. Wow, a trans person came in for a trans cake. What a... That's amazing. Yeah. What a coincidence. They're harassing him.
And who's ever heard even of a trans cake?
No.
Wait, you're doing a celebration from going from man to woman and you need a cake for that? I don't think I've heard. Maybe I'm just not familiar with the trans community and their celebrations.
Maybe there are trans cakes. I don't know.
There could be.
The question, I guess, is though, again, there is this commission. They're coming after him with things that are in the law that are legally available to harass them. They're mm-hmm. using legal harassment. It's, you know, and that is Forget the fact if it's legal or not, because I mean the Supreme Court eventually said it wasn't, right? They said no, we weren't right, but they can get away with it because it hasn't, that this particular thing hasn't been tested there yet. I guess I don't know how they're getting away with this. It's inhuman. But just because you can do something legally doesn't mean you should. We've said this all the time with boycotts, right? Like just because you can try to harass a business owner out of existence doesn't mean you should. And you know that's not. The same thing I think happens with a police officer. If you let's say you miss a drug, let's say the guy just was really good at hiding. Somehow he came up with an X-ray free drug condom that he stuffed up there.
Yes,
and you can't pick it up. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you just got to say, "Ah, darn it, he got away with it." smart play.
Exactly, you got me.
you got me
that time.
That's all right.
You're welcome to your Graham and Coke.
One more bag of drugs is out there, and you're just gonna have to deal with it. Yeah, like the idea that you should go to these lengths is just crazy.
888-727-BECK. More of the Glenn Beck Program with Pat and Stu coming.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Let's talk about something real here. You can put off a lot of things in life. You don't have to join a gym. You can clean your gutters, but usually they will rot off your house. But here's another thing you shouldn't put off, and that is getting home security. It's your home. It's your family. It's your stuff. You want to protect it, but there's always something holding you back, and most likely it's the idea of paying an awful lot of money or paying a middleman and being indebted forever. It also could be the fact that they want you to schedule a 6-hour installation window. You don't have time for that. Simply Safe Home Security has gotten rid of all of those reasons not to get home security. And I'm about to tell you how to save a ton, too. These guys are really great. They don't have any contracts. There's no wiring. There's no markup. There's no installation windows. Just professional quality home security with 24-hour professional monitoring. Now you can save hundreds on SimpliSafe with their extended holiday sale. Just go to SimpliSafeBeck.com to get this great offer at SimpliSafeBeck.com. Save on home protection today. But hurry, the holiday sale ends January 8th. That's SimpliSafeBeck.com.
Pat and Stu for Glenn. Glenn is back on Monday. You know, what was it? A year or so ago, maybe a year and a half ago, Stu and I actually made the bet that if the border wall is built, we'll eat our underwear.
Yeah.
Sadly, that's how sure we were that it just wasn't going to happen. There was, there's too many speed bumps in the road. There's too much opposition from the Democrats. It's really hard because there's a lot of private landowners on the border, and it's just been, it hasn't ever been done. Even though in 2006 they passed a law that said the wall shall be built. I think it was a fence at the time. And even then, when it was written into the wall that it shall be built,
shall
be built, it wasn't built.
Mm-hmm.
And so we said we would eat our underwear if it was. It didn't even have to be completely 100% built. We would have taken 90%. Well, now it looks like it's not going to be built at all.
They're not even proposing 90% anymore.
No.
They're now like, they're, well, not. What if we do 20% or 30%?
Well, what if we do 6 miles? Well, I don't know. That wouldn't cover it, would it?
Then people will go to the seventh mile.
Right.
Even if you come to the point where you believe that this is something that, you know, politicians want to happen, it's difficult. But, I mean, I don't think that's really even where we are. This is not something, I mean, especially with the Republicans losing control, there's no way it's going to happen, right?
Yeah, they didn't do it when they had control, and they're certainly not going to get it done now. And the Democrats have said they're never going to fund it. Never.
And they did offer some money for it at one point in exchange for DACA, all the DACA people being allowed. And again, right. is that a trade you're comfortable making? I'm not.
No.
I mean, that's not something I'm comfortable making as far as a compromise. People, I think, are looking back at that point and saying, people who think that their wall is really important, which we both think,
absolutely,
fencing or whatever barrier is there. I never needed a 30-foot concrete wall. As the president has even pointed out recently, you can't see through it, which is like kind of an issue. Like you kind of want to know what's going on the other side. But whatever that barrier is in the places where it makes sense, I do think it is a good idea.
Now, I was calling at one point for a wall so high you could see it from space.
Right, now
in fact, not just space, but if you're standing on the surface of Mars, you'd be able to see the U.S. southern border wall.
So we need to come up with like a Voyager to send someone to Mars to make sure they can see it.
Yes.
Because I don't want any zooming going on by some, you know, external camera. I want eyes, someone on the surface of Mars with their eyes looking
exactly.
And they could see the wall.
Yes. And at this point, I would settle for a picket fence. Just anything. But they're not going to get any of it done. Now they're even calling it immoral to build a wall. And so it's interesting because President Trump kind of responded to that yesterday and I think had a pretty good point.
Know that. Look, when they say the wall's immoral, mm-hmm. Well, then you got to do something about the Vatican because the Vatican has the biggest wall of them all. The wall is immoral. Look at all of the countries that have walls.
Yeah. I mean, how do you argue with that? If walls are immoral, why does anybody have a walled off piece of property? I mean, the White House has been fenced off. It's not a wall, but it certainly has a guarded, monitored, armed guard protected fence around it. Why is it less important to protect the country? I don't think so. How did we get to the point where a wall or a fence or any sort of barrier just to keep our nation sovereign and to be able to protect our borders and our people, when did that become such a bad thing?
Yeah, I mean, and look, there's an argument among conservatives over the border for a long time, you know, that there's certain things you should prioritize and certain things you shouldn't. I mean, the wall as an effective tool has been debated widely. I think even the president at this point is saying certain areas shouldn't have a wall. You know, so
it's impractical.
You know, mm-hmm. There's, of course, other, you know, private landowner concerns. There's all sorts of actual arguments about whether the wall would be effective or not. But what's it so and where it would be effective? I think it would be effective mm-hmm. in certain places for sure. But the idea that if to be a Democrat today, you have to be able to say a wall is immoral to get into this country. However, crossing the border illegally is not immoral.
Right.
I mean, isn't crossing the border illegally the start of this problem? If they weren't crossing the border illegally, there'd be no reason for an immoral wall because there'd be no reason to put one up. They're not putting one up to stop us from going in there. It doesn't make any sense. And you have to be able to jump all over the place with your logic to be able to justify your position if you think a wall is immoral.
And it's interesting because even the Democrats used to agree about that very basic premise that we should have some sort of protection. Like illegal immigration is not desirable. Well, now to them, back in the 90s, they were all saying the same thing Republicans are now. We need to protect our borders. Not anymore. It's completely different now.
No, it's amazing.
We should let everybody in who wants to come in.
We should go over that a little bit. 888-727-BECK is the phone number. We are back in just 60 seconds here on the Glenn Beck Program.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Every 2 seconds, there is a new victim of identity theft, which means a criminal could be spending your money or applying for loans in your name or even damaging your credit, the good credit you've worked so hard to build. Unfortunately, you might miss certain threats to your identity just by checking bank statements or monitoring your credit. But there's a good thing here. It's called LifeLock Identity Theft Protection. LifeLock uses technology that they came up with and own, and it detects and alerts you to a wide range of identity threats, like your social security number for sale on the dark web. And if you do have an issue involving any kind of identity theft, one of LifeLock's identity restoration specialists are going to work to fix it. That's worth the price of admission every time. Now, nobody can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but with LifeLock, you get identity theft protection and additional features to help protect your devices against cyber threats for as low as $9.99 a month. Don't waste another second. Visit LifeLock.com. Use the promo code BECK, save an extra 10%. It's LifeLock.com, promo code Back.
Pat and Stu for Glenn on the Glenn Beck Program, 888-727-BECK. Just to show you, just to prove what we're saying about Democrats, and it was not ancient history. It wasn't in the 40s where Democrats agreed that we should do something about illegal immigration. This is Harry Reid from 1993.
If making it easy to be an illegal alien isn't enough, how about offering a reward for being an illegal immigrant? No sane country would do that, right? Guess again. Hmm. If you break our laws by entering this country without permission and give birth to a child, we reward that child with U.S. citizenship and guarantee a full access to all public and social services this society provides. And that's a lot of services. Is it any wonder that two-thirds of the babies born at taxpayer expense at country, county-run hospitals in Los Angeles are born to illegal alien mothers?
I mean, what happened to that? What happened to, trying to prevent illegal immigration?
Yeah. I mean, this is really a big position of theirs. Think about this. The bill you mentioned a few minutes ago, which said the wall shall be built.
Mm-hmm.
That was the Secure Fence Act of 2006. It called for 700 miles of fencing along the U.S.-Mexico border. When that came to a vote, the majority of Senate Democrats voted for it. This is 2006.
Wow.
This is not ancient history. The majority of Senate Democrats voted in favor of it. The polling on the issue is insane. As of 2010, a border wall was a 50-50 issue among Democrats.
That is incredible.
That is incredible. Currently, by the way, it's 89-8 among Democrats.
Against.
So, and that most of that drop has happened since Trump started making it an issue. It's really just a Trump issue for Democrats. They liked the border wall until Trump started talking about it, and now they hate it.
But the other thing is, I think their mindset has changed a little bit because they consider everyone who comes across the border illegally a potential voter for them. And I think that they see a chance to get a voting block with Hispanics the way they have with African Americans. I think that's their goal, and I think that's what they believe they can achieve. I don't think they can, but I think that's why it's no longer an issue. Yeah, just let them come on in because that'll help us stay in power in perpetuity.
And I think that's what the party thinks, right? Like the party leadership wants a bunch of illegal immigrants here so then later on they can make them citizens and get all their votes, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a long-term play for the Democratic Party. That's not the long-term play of the Democratic voter though, right? I mean, like the Democratic voter, the reason why it was, 50-50 issue in 2010 about building a border wall, it was because they thought that was the right opinion. Right. They believed it was important for security back then. Now it's all become about Trump and their obsession of opposing anything he's for. And that's not healthy for Republicans to support anything he's for. And it's not healthy for Democrats to oppose anything he's for. It doesn't make any sense. It's not how you run a country. It's not how you run a civilization. It shouldn't be about personalities. It should be about the principle.
Pat and Stu for Glenn on the Glenn Beck Program, 888-727-BECK.
We've seen a lot of these suspensions on Twitter. And, some of them are controversial, some of them are not, right? Like if you're doing a threat against an individual, if you are promoting ISIS, right? Like some of these things we all agree should be pulled down from social media, including if you are encouraging people to harm themselves or to commit suicide, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that is a legitimate thing, right? It's off limits. This just happened, actually, to Jeremy Boring at the Daily Wire. Now, he's been on the News and Why It Matters before. You may know him if you're a big fan of Ben Shapiro. He's there all the time, one of his business partners, and he does a bunch of shows as well. He went down a really dark road here and got suspended on Twitter.
Oh, no.
For promoting or encouraging suicide or self-harm. You may not promote or encourage a suicide or self-harm. When we receive reports that a person is threatening suicide or self-harm, we may take a number of steps to assist them, such as reaching out to that person, providing resources such as contact information to our mental health partners. If you're having thoughts of self-harm, suicide, or depression, we encourage you to please reach out to someone and request help. Mm. Our safety center has a list of resources you can consult for a variety of reasons, including depression, loneliness, substance abuse, blah, 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 blah. So that's what Twitter sent to tell Jeremy that he was suspended. And he was able to locate the offending tweet. And again, we should all come together and say it's okay to suspend someone when they encourage self-harm.
Oh, I think so.
Suicide.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
You got to know that's unacceptable. Mm-hmm.
Now, the tweet came in a debate about whether Brussels sprouts were good, which is a typical location for a suicidal tweet. A real serious effort to encourage self-harm.
Uh-huh.
This is someone said Brussels sprouts were good if you cooked them right. And Jeremy responded, even better, coat it with melted butter, salt, pepper, paprika, and a dash of Worcestershire. Sear in cast iron bacon grease for 30 seconds until brown. Then throw them away and burn your face off with the hot pan.
Oh, no, that's... he's encouraging self-harm there.
Because even that would be better than Brussels sprouts. That... they suspended him because he encouraged people to, quote, burn their face off with a hot pan.
Oh my gosh. Is that really where we are? Is it that bad?
Yeah.
That you can't know that's a joke and I shouldn't probably burn my face off?
Yeah. He has been reinstated to Twitter, but he missed a whole day of Twitter because of it. Now, that's probably a blessing in disguise for a lot of people, including, I think, myself. But that is an amazing... I go back and forth with this because if you listen... And Glenn's back on Monday, by the way, here on the Glenn Beck program. But Glenn talks about artificial intelligence. And you go back and forth listening to him and thinking like the entire world is going to collapse within the next 5 years. And then you look at this and you're just like, Twitter's banning someone for self-harm because he doesn't like Brussels sprouts too much. Like, how smart is the AI? How smart are these algorithms? They can't seem to do the most basic things sometimes. Yet, I guess, with artificial intelligence, they'll start learning on top of each other and it'll get, it could get ugly. Who knows?
But, it's actually a pretty funny tweet, too.
Yeah, it is. Very funny.
He's a funny guy. Yeah.
So that's that. We also are living in a world where there's a new praise of a man. Who had an issue here. He's a big environmentalist, David Buckle. He was a huge fan of the environment and wanted to protect it. And you can't do too much to protect the environment. I think you know that, Pat.
Oh, absolutely.
You can't go too far.
No.
This guy wrote, most humans on the planet now breathe air made unhealthy by fossil fuels, and many die early deaths as a result. And he was trying to explain his particular approach to the environment, which was lighting himself on fire in Brooklyn's Prospect Park to set an example in the fight against climate change. In his suicide note, he wrote that part about how, we now breathe air because of fossil fuels that is unhealthy. And he wrote, my early death by fossil fuels reflects what we are doing to ourselves. Honorable purpose in life invites honorable purpose in death.
That's and beautiful.
Somehow, the New York Times included him in the Lives They Lived, their annual obituary, and it treated Buckle as if he was kind of a hero. They said in Buddhism, which Buckle studied in his characteristic deliberateness, self-immolation can be a kind of communication. To burn oneself by fire, the activist wrote in 1965 letter to Martin Luther King. It's to prove that what one of us is saying is of the utmost importance. In his own letter, Buckle wrote about the Tibetan monks who set themselves on fire to protest Chinese rule because no other action can most meaningfully address the harm they seek.
No, and when the Chinese government sees that somebody set themselves on fire, of course they're going to let Tibet go.
Oh yeah, they changed it. They were like, oh gosh, that guy set himself on fire.
Let's release our oppressive grip here on this country.
You can put on the back of the official vehicle, put that free Tibet sticker, because that guy burned himself to death. Unbelievable. The obituary then describes him as living a saint-like life, and his final moments could be interpreted as an incandescent act of speech. So I guess a big hero there. You want to get praise in the New York Times, just burn yourself to death. And I will say this, it is consistent. Burning yourself to death as an environmentalist, and now you are going to have some emissions that go up from that, and that's an issue. However, your lack of breathing is going to help this planet.
Oh.
There's nothing worse for the planet than human beings, Pat.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, I guess, because I always think it's one of the most selfish things in the world to be alive if you're an environmentalist. How dare you remain alive?
Mm-hmm.
If you remain alive... you're hurting this planet.
And you have a good chance of eating meat, which we all know
the
is the number one cause of global warming on this planet. So at least this man, Buckle, who said David Buckle, he'll never eat meat again. I think we know that. Not after setting himself on fire.
It's difficult to do it after
death.
It is, yeah.
After death.
It's been found scientifically to be very difficult after death.
Most people lose their appetite. After they've expired.
Good way to lose weight, though.
Yeah, yes, it is.
I will say that coming off the holidays, great way to lose weight. Just if you're packing on the extra pounds, self-immolation is something you should maybe consider. Oh, no. Now I've been banned.
Oh, wow.
Now, I've been banned from Twitter and the radio for thoughts of self-harm. I'm not encouraging suicide here. That would be a terrible
thing.
Thank
you for clearing that up.
You should not do that.
Because I think there were several people who were ready to self-immolate.
They're like, wow.
Wow. Stu said I should, so I'm going to now.
I don't want to pitch for this, and I know I shouldn't be encouraging this, but let me just give you this one word. If 10,000 people were to light themselves on fire today, that would pay for, in environmental terms, one Al Gore private jet flight. And isn't it worth it?
Yes.
Wouldn't you be able to...
It's a carbon offset, really,
right.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Because you're no longer breathing, and Al Gore gets to fly wherever he wants. It's fantastic.
And I really want him to be able to do that.
It's unbelievable.
Now, speaking of meat and the lack thereof, PETA has jumped into a really important fray. This kind of came up on, I think it was New Year's Day. Yeah, it did. It came up on New Year's Day when Texas played Georgia. And surprisingly beat Georgia, which was amazing to me.
That was a surprise. Yeah.
I didn't think they'd be able to, but they did. They pulled it off 28-21. Well, before the game, Texas's mascot, which is a big longhorn steer, got a little carried away and, kind of jumped over some fencing and almost pushed some people around a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then his handler got control of the situation really quickly. Well, PETA saw that happen, and they have now demanded that there be no more live animal mascots for any team anywhere. They've got to get rid of Bevo at the University of Texas, which I think they've only used forever, a live bull. And the Georgia Bulldogs have a live bulldog as their mascot. I think it's called Uga. And so PETA is demanding that there be no more live animal mascots anywhere in college football, or anywhere for that matter. They said that it's quite possible that Bevo was simply scared by noise, lights, and the chaos of the stadium. And that doesn't change the fact, though, that any of the humans standing nearby could have easily been trampled, or that the animals could have been hurt or killed. Mm. And they don't want to see any of this going on anymore.
No. But that was a scary situation just from the perspective of it was, you know, it's a giant animal, an incredibly powerful animal.
Yes.
And at any point could break through the dumb little barriers they have for it.
I was surprised at the dumb little barrier they had around Bevo.
Because I've heard this from ranchers, and it's obviously true. It's been something they've been done for a long time. But you don't need to put like a 40-foot wall to stop these animals from leaving. They just kind of see something and they stop. They don't try to get through it. Even though they could get through it, they don't try to get through it.
He got pissed.
He got pissed for some reason and went through it. I hope they don't start realizing this. This would be a big whatever animal Twitter is out there. If they're sharing this video right now, they're all going to realize. Wait, we could just walk through that thing. this go out. This is amazing. They're going to be all over the place within a month.
Yeah, if that goes viral in the animal kingdom, we're toast.
I'm not for internet censorship normally. But we need to keep this off cow Twitter.
Keep it away from cows, especially. 888-727-BECK. Pat and Stu for Glenn, who's back on Monday. You know, it's been a pretty ugly and wild ride for stocks the last month or two. And, I mean, it's been such wild swings. It'll go down 2 or 3% one day and then up 6% the next. It's like one day last week, it was over 1,000 points up after dropping, I don't know, 4,000 points during the year or whatever it was.
And the scary part about that is if you go back to 2008, the same thing happened. There were a lot of huge drops that everyone remembers, but there's also some of the biggest gains in the history of the stock market that happened in that frame. It just shows just volatility.
And because Apple has had, I guess, not quite the sales they expected for the iPhone X. Mm-hmm. Their stock is down. The company has lost about $450 billion in market value since their peak last year.
$450 billion?
In a year. In less than a year. They were worth $1.1 trillion last year. So now they're only worth $700 billion, which is a lot of money. And, you know, people are still doing well if you own Apple stock. But, I mean, that's it's been devalued a lot in a very short amount of time.
Really? Yeah. Jeez, really fast too. That's I mean, part of it, they're saying part of it is the trade situation, which is affecting their business, which you can kind of expect with someone like Apple. If this is going to go on, it's not going to be good for them. The other part of it is, I mean, I just don't know if there is a situation where it's worth it. Like, I mean, the
to buy a $1,000 phone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because remember, it was one of those things where the AT&T or Verizon used to be the ones subsidizing it. So you're really paying $200 and then they're paying the rest.
And they don't do that now.
They don't do that
it's
anymore.
It's a different system.
Yeah.
So you got to pay $1,000. It better be a pretty incredible innovation for me to pay $1,000. I don't want just, hey, the camera's a little bit clearer now. Yeah.
That's what it is every time now.
Yeah. It's, well, or you can open it with your thumb.
Yes. Well, and that was, I will
look,
say.
You touch it with your thumb and it opens. Okay. Well, I'm not sure that's worth $1,000.
That one's worth every penny. And then the innovation from the thumb to the face recognition is also worth every penny because it saves you like 1/80th of a second.
Yes. But people are willing to do it for that.
I honestly, it is, I can't imagine going back now. It is that. It's one of those things
really?
That I made fun of it.
Rather
until
than
I had
pushing
it.
Four numbers,
yes,
it's worth it for you.
Yes, that's one of those. It's like as soon I was that is the dumbest thing
amazing.
I've ever heard. Let me try it. Oh my gosh, it's changed my life.
I will
life.
Never go back. I can't believe we were so archaic.
I know,
as I had to use my thumb.
I know. Well, and it's like because I was first of all, it's typing numbers, and I have fat fingers that I'd miss the buttons. So that was problem one. Then that solved it with the fingerprint thing. Which, again, I'm giving up all my security to Apple. I've given them my entire kingdom.
I know.
Go ahead.
We all have.
Yeah, it's embarrassing. But so then you put the thumb on the scanner thing, and that was good until, like, a couple times you'd have to press it, and, you know, you'd have to eventually reset your thumb. Now you just look at the thing, and it opens. It's fantastic. So that one I will actually defend as an
all
innovation.
Right. So,
but, like, what it usually winds up being to me is, like, they've created a way to make yourself into a dancing emoji. It's like, I'm not 9 years old. Like, I don't need the ability to make a cartoon
either.
Character that looks like myself, mouth my voice. And anyone who's doing that more than one time to see it happen, is there anyone? Unless you're a child. Like, even my kid got sick of it after doing it one time.
No, I'm holding out for the camera going from a trillion pixels to a trillion and 50 pixels.
That 50, that last 50
is
big.
That last 50 is huge.
That's big.
To me. So I'm going to buy not just the Apple 10, but the 10.1A and maybe even the 10.1B. And I'll definitely get the 10.1 to the third power.
Okay, that one's great.
When that one comes out, I'm getting it.
You know what I would pay $1,000 for, like right now, if they could put a feature in my phone, would be something that guarantees when you turn the camera on, it is not pointed at you.
I would like that.
Anything
like that
to
too.
Not see my fat face in that camera. You turn that thing on because you're not. It's not a time where you're looking and expecting to be seen in a camera. It's just how everyone sees you every day. And you're in the middle and you're like, I'm going to take a picture. And you look over and you're just making this face. And you're like, good God, this is what these people see? They see this every day? This monster?
It's a bad reminder. It really is.
That is the worst shock of a lifetime.
Are
you turning on your iPad and you're playing when you press camera by mistake and you just see a picture like looking up at yourself from like a low angle?
Oh. No, thank you.
That you want to burn yourself to death. That's what you want to do. Oh my gosh.
Did you just encourage self-immolation?
With Brussels sprouts.
Oh my gosh.
You should burn yourself with Brussels sprouts.
Wow.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.